approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And it's with those comforting words I say, good morning and welcome to worship. I'm Mike Eller, I'm the Associate Minister of Music here at Greystone. It's my privilege to give you a warm Greystone welcome. Even as we begin this hour of worship, I want to think about ways that you can connect with us to help us connect with you. There's a couple ways we do that here at Greystone. One's at a pew pad you'll find in the pew. You might have already been passing that down. Fill out the information, send it to those around you. Inside that pad, you'll also notice that there's a connect card. And this is another way that we like to keep in touch with you by you giving us information. What are some things we can pray for? Or some information you'd like to hear from us. We'd love to be connected to you around that. We were blessed to have Dr. Mike Simmons come last week and fill a pulpit. We're grateful that he decided to come back for another week, and his wife Sandra's here worshiping with us this morning. So, Dr. Simmons, thank you for being here again. You can read more about Dr. Simmons and the worship guide this morning, but suffice to say that he's been no stranger to our region. He's served churches in Macon and Stoneville, Canton, Charlotte, Louis Creek, and even here in Raleigh. So we're grateful to have him worshiping with us this morning. As we worship, may our prayer be that we hear what the Spirit has to say to us this morning. May we continue in worship.
Guys, welcome. If there are any other children who'd like to join us today, then feel free to come on up to the front. Today is a special day. I've given you little silver buckets, right? What do we do with these buckets? We fill them with pocket change. That's right. We, on fifth Sundays this year, have been collecting pocket change, and then every time we collect, it goes to a different place. This month, we have been collecting food for Raleigh Urban Ministries, right? We've collected pasta and rice. We've collected beans. Today is Scotch Tape Day, because if you run an office, you need tape. You need lots and lots of tape. And nobody gives grants for people to buy tape. So we'll donate some tape, but we're also collecting pocket change, that spare change that rolls around in your parents' car, or maybe is down in the sofa cushions, or just hangs out, or maybe there's a drawer in your kitchen where everything just gets thrown in, right? So pocket change. The thing that I like about Pocket Change Sunday is someone in the early service gave this bag, and that's not a lot of money, is it? I mean, some quarters and some pennies, some nickels and dimes. But the thing about Pocket Change Sunday is everybody gives their quarters and their dimes, their $50 bills, their 20s, whatever fits in the bucket, we'll take it. But all of that pulls together from all of these people, and it becomes hundreds of dollars. And so by joining together and sharing, then we get to do something and make a big gift to help people. Raleigh Urban Ministries will use this money to fill in their shelves. So maybe they have lots and lots of pasta, but they don't have any spaghetti sauce. So they'll have to go buy it. Or one thing that all of the food pantries and food banks need is milk. You know, the cartons of milk that you see? It's really hard for people don't usually give milk. So they have to go and buy milk because kids need milk, right? So all those things, this money will go today to fill in those shelves at Raleigh Urban Ministries. So thank you for doing that. So after we pray, you're going to go roaming through the congregation. And once you get your bucket full, then bring it back to the front, okay? But let's pray together. Dear God, I pray that you would bless these dimes and quarters and pennies. I pray that you would multiply them. I pray that this money would also be a blessing, a way of hope, a way to show our love, a way to bring peace and sustenance to someone who needs it. As we go and collect, know that we go with your presence and your spirit, and that you will indeed bless and multiply. We thank you in the name of Christ. Amen. All right, guys.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought the field. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May God add understanding to the reading of the lesson. Thanks be to God.
It is with great joy that Sandra and I come in worship with you this morning. It's always a privilege to be able to come in the midst of God's people, to read His Word together, be able to hear His Word proclaimed, sing His praise, and just to enjoy one another. As we begin our time together, would you join me in prayer? O God, our Father, hallowed and holy be Your name. So often, Father, we pray the Lord's Prayer. And in that prayer we say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And yet sometimes, Father, though we pray the prayer, the words become only words. But this morning, we want the words to become real. For indeed, as we study Your scripture, we begin to understand anew what it is to ask for Your will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. For therein we find the true meaning of the kingdom of God. O God, as Your people gather for worship, as we have indeed already worshiped, help us to continue to do so in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Eureka! It's a word we are familiar with. The word itself comes from an ancient Greek word formed by Archimedes back in sometime between 287 and 212 BCE. Archimedes was a Greek mathematician, a physicist, an engineer, an inventor, an astronomer. It is said that while working on a formula for many years as a mathematician, when he found finally the solution to his problem, he shouted out, Eureka! I've discovered it! I found it! We probably think more of that word when we think of the California Gold Rush of 1848-1849, as people from all across the United States made their way towards California, hoping that they'd strike it rich. And for those few who did, there was always that shout, Eureka! I found it. I found it. Well, this morning we want to find it again. We're not looking for gold in California. We're not looking for an answer to a mathematical equation, but we are seeking to find the kingdom of God and what it really means and what it really does within us. If you were here last Sunday, we said that the kingdom of God is the rule of God in the hearts of men. It is indeed the will of God being done within the hearts and lives of His children. Last week, Jesus spoke about the parable, a parable in which He spoke of weeds and tares, in which He spoke of good seed and bad seed being raised up together in the same world, and how at the end of time the angels would come and separate the good from the bad, that which produced and that which did not produce, that the people of faith versus the people of non-faith. We pick up that same understanding of the parables of the kingdom today. A parable, a short story, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And indeed, today we find the five parables of the kingdom, all dealing with earthly situations that the people of Jesus' day might truly understand and with which they could associate. First, there is the parable of the mustard seed, a very small seed, about the size of a drop of blood. That seed, when planted in the ground, was to take root and grow. It was to be nurtured and cared for. And at the end of its growing season, it could reach a height of 9 to 12 feet. And Jesus identified the kingdom of God as that small seed of faith planted deep in the earth, that when it took root and grew, would become like a mighty tree that with branches that would open its arms wide to receive the birds from all over the earth. It was a parable that taught about starting little with a small amount of faith, that faith taking root and growing to become a tremendous tree and opening up its branches for Jews and Gentiles alike. What does a parable of the kingdom of say to us? This mustard seed that God plants in your heart and in mine, that small seed of faith which He does not want to remain dormant within us, but rather we are to nurture it and care for it so that it might grow and take root, and we will then grow into mighty trees that would spread forth our branches to receive people from all over the world, that they might nest and find a home and find the love of Christ within the same faith that initially took root within us. And then there is a second parable, a parable of the leaven. Comes right out of the kitchen. Now, the first parable came out of the agriculture, and people understood about the mustard tree. Now they must understand truly about cooking. Who among them did not like to eat? And who among them did not have spouses who would bake bread? And in this parable, Jesus said the woman of the household comes in and to bake her bread. She kneads her dough. She gets it all ready. And deep within the confines of that dough, she hides, and the New American Standard Version doesn't say that she simply places it within the dough, but that she hides it deep within the dough. And then she bakes her bread. She uses 3 pecks of flour, which if all of it rises and all of it comes out as it should, would feed 100 to 150 people. She's not talking about a little loaf of bread, folks. She's talking about a lot of bread to feed a lot of people. And that yeast, that leaven, hidden deep in the dough, begins to permeate the whole thing until it all rises and it becomes food and a blessing to the multitude. What does the parable say to us? Again, like the first parable, it's a small amount of faith placed deep into the heart of the believer that then allows that believer to grow, because that faith begins to permeate his or her whole being, so that we become a people of faith who walk by faith, who live by faith, who hope by faith. We become that people where the faith has grown until we spread forth our branches and open wide our arms to receive all the peoples of the earth, that we might share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there is a third parable. In the third parable of the kingdom, it speaks of a man who was walking casually across a field, not expecting perhaps to find anything. I'm not sure what he's doing. He might be listening to the birds singing. He may be watching the scenery about him, but he stumps his toe on something as he walks across the ground, and lo and behold, it's a treasure that had been hidden before. He takes his hands and he digs it out and he looks at it. And his statement is, "Eureka! I have found it!" And he takes that treasure and he hides it in the ground again so no one can find it. And he goes and he sells everything that he has that he might buy the field, come back and dig up the treasure. "Eureka! I've discovered it! It's mine!" Now in the fourth parable, Jesus speaks of a merchant. Now the merchant has his job of seeking pearls. Pearls in that day and time were as precious as a diamond is today. And to find that pearl of great value, everyone who ever searched for treasure hoped to find that pearl, that priceless pearl, that wonderful, beautiful, shining pearl. This merchant finds the pearl. And in the parable, he goes and sells everything that he has. And he comes back to buy that pearl. And we're going to come back to that parable in a moment. In the next parable, it is the parable of the dragnet. And the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is like a great net and cast out into the sea by the fishermen. Everybody understood about fishing in that day and time. It was a livelihood of many, as men would go out upon the Sea of Galilee and cast their nets and hope to bring in a haul of fish in return. The net is probably 6 feet square. It's weighted so that when the men cast it from the boat, it would sink towards the bottom. As the boat continued on, the net would scrape up everything in its path like a great big parachute, just gathering in whatever got in its way, both edible and inedible. And there were men on the shore that had ropes tied to those nets, so that when the nets were full, they could then haul those nets in to the shore. And when they got the nets in, they would then open them up and separate the good fish from the bad, the edible from the inedible. For the Old Testament law said the only fish that the Jews could eat were those that had fins. And that we all know that on the bottom of the sea, you find other critters than just fish with fins. And so they would separate them, the good from the bad. And Jesus said, that is the way the kingdom of God is. God's net is cast for everyone. He wants to receive everyone into his kingdom. And yet, there will be some who will refuse to come by faith, who will follow other gods, choose other pathways. But for the faithful, for those who choose to follow Jesus along life's journey, when the angels come at the end of the age, he separates the just from the unjust, the righteous from the unrighteous, and he welcomes the righteous into his kingdom. And the unrighteous are cast into the fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the last parable. Jesus tells us of a householder, one who took care of the house that belonged to him. This householder, he says, is a scribe. But first, before telling the disciples what he was going to mean by this parable, he said, "Have you understood everything I have said to you?" Those disciples said, "Yes, we understand." If you remember last week, after he told the parable of the wheat and the tares, they pulled him aside inside the house and said, "Can you tell us what you meant by that?" Didn't quite get it. Explain it to us. And there are many occasions when those disciples didn't quite get it. and had to pull Jesus aside and said, Master, tell us what you meant by that. But this time, they got it. This time they understood. He said, understand something else. There are scribes out there who understand the Old Testament law. They have copied it. They have read it. They have shared it. They understand it. And some of those scribes have come to receive the gospel. Some of those scribes have come to learn about the love of God and a new covenant that's going to be established in my blood. And these scribes are the householders of the faith. They're the ones who take both the old and the new and hold it sacred together. For Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And indeed, he did not come to destroy the teachings of the Old Testament, but rather to fulfill them. And now, with the new covenant relationship written in his blood, those scribes and we began to understand how to interpret the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, and to see throughout its pages the love of God and God reaching out to a lost world. That God's desire is to cast the net wide that all might come into the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God within the hearts and men of hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls who come to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, I want us to go back for a few moments and look at that other parable. Remember, it is a parable of a merchant who has been searching all of his life. His whole livelihood comes from looking for that pearl, hoping that someday he might find it. And in the parable, Jesus says he does find it. It's that eureka moment when that merchant begins to understand, all I've ever hoped to find in life is right here. All I ever hoped to achieve in life is right here. All the joy that would fill my heart is right here. Eureka! I have discovered it. I have found it. And I must buy it. I must buy it. And the scripture says he goes back and sells everything that he has in order to purchase that pearl of great value. Now, I want you to imagine something with me for a few moments. Imagine that merchant finding that pearl of great value. Imagine the joy, the eureka moment, the euphoria that must fill that man's life as he discovered what he had always hoped to find. Now it was there for the taking. And so he goes to find the owner of the pearl. And he says, sir, I have found this pearl, and I know that it belongs to you. Would you sell it to me? What will it cost? And the owner says, everything that you have. Everything that you have. And the merchant begins to think for a moment, I wonder what everything really means. And so the owner begins to break it down for him. And he says, do you have a job? And the merchant says, yes, I have a job. And it pays well. And so the owner writes down on his tablet, one job, pays well. What else do you have? Do you have any bank accounts or investments? And the merchant begins to think, and why, yes, if we were in our day and time, I've got a checking account. I've got a savings account, got an IRA. I've got some stocks and bonds. I've made some investments along the way. And the owner on his list says, stocks and bonds, checking, savings, IRA. What else do you have? I don't think I have anything else. Well, do you live in a tent? Where do you live? Oh, I live in a fine house back in the States. Oh, one fine house back in the States. And what else do you have? I don't really have anything else. Well, do you live by yourself? No, I have a wife and two children. Oh, fine. One wife, two children. And what else do you have? Do those children walk? where they go? No, we have three automobiles. My oldest son has an automobile. My wife has an automobile. I have an automobile. And the owner of the Pearl says, yes, three fine automobiles. And what else do you have? And the merchant says, I don't have anything else. And the owner says, are you sure? He said, but look, I've already said I'm going to give you my job, my checking account, my savings account, my IRA, my stocks and my bonds. I've already said I'm going to give you my house and my cars. I said I'm going to give you my wife and my two children. What else is there? That's nothing left but me. Ah, yes. You. One you. One you. Are you willing to give it all for the pearl of great value? And the man says, yes. Eureka. I have found it. I've been looking for it all my life. Everything I own, even me, belongs to you. Now the obvious is the obvious, is it not? Jesus is the owner of the pearl of great value. He is the one who has the kingdom, offers to us the kingdom of heaven, God's reign and rule, eternal salvation in our hearts and in our lives. And Jesus says to us, just like the owner of that pearl probably would have said to the merchant, you know, I really don't have any need of any of these things right now. Right now, I'm going to give them to you to take care of. Right now, you're going to become the caretakers of all the things and the people in your family. But when I return from the journey, I'm going to ask for them. When I return, remember, it all belongs to me. You are its stewards, its caregivers, its caretakers. Jesus offers to all of us the pearl of great value. He offers to us the kingdom of heaven. He offers to us God's will and reign within our hearts. When we discover it, do we shout, Eureka! It's here. We found it. We want it. More than anything else, we want it. For you see, Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood on that cross, died for the punishment of your sin and mine, that he might present to us the kingdom, that he might give to us salvation, that he might offer to us eternal life that's abundant and free. He went to the cross for you. And then on the third day after his crucifixion, he gloriously rose from the dead. He said, I will come again. I will come again. In the meantime, if you have the kingdom, if you really want the kingdom, then give me you and all that goes with you. Entrust it into my hands, and I will give it back to you to look after until I have need of it when I come again. You see, my friends, the kingdom of God is here. It is ours for the asking. If we're willing to pay the price, and if we are willing to pay the price and receive the kingdom as Jesus gives it through faith, he plants that seed deep within our hearts and he wants it to grow. He wants it to grow into a great tree that welcomes everyone into the kingdom who will come. He wants it to grow and permeate throughout all of society until the whole community and the whole world begins to understand there is a God who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He wants us to count it as our eureka moment, finding God's kingdom. And he wants us, oh, how he wants us to understand the old and the new coming together through his shed blood and the kingdom becoming a reality in the here and the now within us. What will you do with the kingdom? Have you found it? If you haven't, it's here to discover this morning. What would you do with the kingdom and the seed of faith that God has planted with you if you've already found the pearl? If you've already found it, what will you do with it? Will you let it grow within you? Will you let it permeate your whole being so that you become that witness, faithful unto the Lord? Will you cast your nets wide that you might draw into the kingdom with you those who would come? Those decisions we'll make in a moment. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that in these moments we might do that which is pleasing to you in the response that we make in this time of commitment, be it to give our hearts to Jesus, be it to make rededication or recommitments of our hearts and lives to living faithfully for you, or be it becoming members of this church family. Whatever it is to be, Lord, whatever you call upon us to do, may we, like the merchant, be willing to give all that we have, that the kingdom, the pearl, might be ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us prepare our hearts silently in prayer.
Peace of the living Christ be with you. Would you turn around and share a piece of Christ with those around you? Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ. Thank you. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ, brother. Let's see. Peace, David. Peace of Christ. As you get back to your seat, let's take a quick seat as we hear a word from the interim search team.
Good
morning.
I'm Jared Childs. I'm here on behalf of the interim search team. We would like to let you know that we wish to thank you for your patience as we work to secure the interim for the church. We realize that many of you want the process completed now. However, it is important for us to prayerfully consider God's leading in the process. Here's some things.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you for that update. Well, we are all the better that when we are together to worship, you are here. So thank you for spending the morning with us worshiping. I do want to give a warm thank you to Dr. Mike Simmons for spending these couple weeks with us and for Sandra to worship with us this morning. So I know you'll want to express your thanks to him as this service concludes. We're gearing up for VBS. This is VBS week. Next Thursday, we kick that off, and then that culminates on Sunday morning with one combined service. So just remember that next week as we get back together, there's only one service at 11 o'clock, and that's a casual service. So come in your PJs or whatever you think casual is. All right. There is going to be regular Sunday school that morning, but only one service at 11. In 2 weeks, August 13th, at 5 o'clock in this room, that afternoon we'll have our quarterly business meeting, our church and conference, so make sure that's on your calendar and make plans to be with us on that day. Lastly, I do want to just acknowledge our good friend Cody Staples, who I'm going to invite to come and stand with me. Just as I was about to hire Cody as my sidekick, I hear that he's leaving. So he's been our interim to student this summer, has spent a short time with us, but a really rich time. I know Alan's been real grateful for his help. We've been grateful to have Cody around during the week to help out the staff. Cody, we're going to miss you, man, and thank you for all you've done here at Greystone. This is his last Sunday, so I've invited him to stand up here. I know you'll want to come and express your thanks to Cody as well. So thank you, Cody. Stand right here, sir. Yeah. As we are sent forth, may we do that singing. Stand with me as we sing, Going Out. To proclaim God's constant love, living out that love for everyone you meet. Go forth to unfold God's word to the world, offering to all the healing grace of Jesus. Go forth to tell stories of hope and peace, spreading the spirit of life all around us. Now, go forth. Amen.